Today on Real Radio.
You're going to say to me, well, that's politically incorrect for you to talk about these things. And I'm going to say to you, it's theologically incorrect for them to have gone into my Bible and try to usurp God off of his throne and try to redefine what God has put into practice. No one's got that authority.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues a series called the Worldview Series, a series that encourages us to have an active, relevant, engaging, and culturally involved faith. Coming up in this segment of the Worldview Series, Pastor Jack continues What is Our Sexuality? By asking the question, what is natural sexuality? It's a volatile subject these days, but once again, Pastor Jack reminds us that the Bible is still the manual on sexuality, and without apology, God still declares himself as the final authority over creation, gender, and our conduct. Pastor Jack also stresses the fact that science supports God's law of nature, and therefore, we can't allow our emotions or even our culture to drive our thoughts towards any unnatural behavior. And now here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Is your theology a true theology rooted in the Bible? Did all you hear me tonight say that just now? This is serious, and you're going to see how serious in a moment, because as we get into this, your emotions are going to rise up and begin to dictate to you what is true and false. Your emotions are going to rise, and they're going to demand that you obey your emotions and your feelings. And I want you to know right now that if you follow God based upon your feelings, then you're not following God at all. And that's a tremendous thing to say. You might say, well, Pastor Jack, didn't God make us to have feelings? Yes, but God didn't make us to follow those feelings. We are to be led by the truth of God's unerring word, his perfect manual for our lives. And so, as we consider this, mark a few things down in our note-taking tonight. In fact, as I mentioned to you last week, we looked at what is our sexuality. Tonight, it is what is natural sexuality. And then, as I said earlier, we'll wrap this up next time together with unnatural sexuality. And so when we talk about these things, church, in your note-taking, especially you young students, write this down. Science, and we're going to be talking a lot about that tonight, science and the Bible, science is the study of absolute natural laws. You got to write that down because you're not going to get it in school. Nature's absolutes. There are nature's absolutes in the context of nature's God. There are absolutes. If you're attending a college class today or a high school class today, teachers do not like to talk about, and they're not being trained to talk about absolutes. And yet absolutes are the overriding law in nature that we observe and that we research and that we study. In fact, everything that you and I do when it comes to the area of life sciences, for example, if it comes to the area of aerodynamics, if it comes to the area of chemistry or biology, even the food that you ate today, the food that you ate today made it into your hands via a great host of researchers, a great host of scientists. They had to test it. They had to make sure it was safe. And then once it was approved by the FDA, it made it to the store shelf, and you grabbed it and you ate it. Why? Because it had gone through the necessary tests and examinations for it to be allowed into this nation. Okay? Are you with me? Understand that? Everything that you and I enjoy in some way, shape, or form is because it abides by the laws of science. Today, the rain came down. The only way that rain would have gone up is by a greater overpowering natural law, like turbulence or wind would have caught today rain. By the way, it did that over my house, apparently. The rain was caught in a wind, and it went back up into the cumulonimbus of that cloud. And then it came back down, and listen. It must have went back up, and then it must have come back down. It must have went back up, and it must have done this numerous times. You say, how do you know? Because I know something about meteorology. I know something about science in this area. When the hail came down and landed in my backyard. I walked out there with a single-edged razor blade, and I grabbed the hail that was about the size of a peanut, a peanut that's outside the shell. And I grabbed that little thing and I cut it right in half. Why did I do that? Because when you take that hail and you look at it, when you cut it in half, count how many rings, because it has rings, count how many rings, and you can count how many times it percolated inside the cloud. If it had 6 rings like it did today, then it went up and down in the cloud 6 times before it was thrown out of the top of that cloud and fell into my backyard. Did you know that? Well, now you know that. So that's science. It's observable, you can study it, and it is predictable, and you can tell that this is what happens when a situation is like it was, and this is the result. You can expect these kinds of results. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, now Adam knew his wife, Eve, and she conceived. Church, listen. The Bible says there, Adam knew. The word, by the way, I'm not kidding. The word in Hebrew for Adam knew his wife Eve is yada. It's a Hebrew word. And yada means to discover, to study, to examine, and to know intimately. In fact, the Bible says, be still and know that I am God. That's that Hebrew word yada. And the Bible says that Adam, Eve, and she conceived. Is that theologically correct, what I just said? Did Adam know Eve, and did she conceive? How many of you think that's theologically correct? Raise your hands, okay? How many of you think that's scientifically correct? Exactly. When Adam, Eve, she conceives. Why? That's called science, right? The God of the Bible is the God of science. Whenever there is a science, as Paul warned Timothy about, that in the last days, there will be those who will call things science but are false. False sciences. The way that you can study a true science is that it's something that's reproducible. That's what makes it qualify as a science. It can be studied and reproduced and studied again, and it becomes predictable. Thus, it's a science. Everybody knows this. There is no science outside of that rule, outside of that absolute law. And so according to the Bible and according to science, the human race began its propagation. Adam wrestled with Eve, and they had a baby. Keep that in mind as we look at tonight, mainly, not exclusively, but mainly, natural sexuality. Mark this down in our note-taking tonight. First point, that natural sexuality, it's appointed gender sexuality. God does this. It's appointed. You can even put the word ordained, ordered, set by, but it's appointed gender sexuality. You need to know that. Now, again, those of you who don't traffic in the classrooms, you're saying, what is this all about? But the young generation, and oh my goodness, last Wednesday night after service, I was in the foyer, and I just had one wave after another of young people in school, in college, and they're saying, oh my goodness, I can't believe I heard that. This is exactly what's going on in my world, but we're talking about gender sexuality, gender. God says, I appoint gender. God says this. Church, listen carefully. Right now, you and I are in a battle in our culture because, are you listening? Everything in our age, right here, right now, is under attack regarding our biblical worldview. I can even say this. Regarding our biblical worldview in our present culture, if it's in Genesis chapter 1, it's under attack. And you ought to take note of that. In the beginning, God created. What attacks that biblical worldview? Evolution. In the beginning, God created, and the Bible says that he created man, verses 26, 27, and 28 of the first chapter of Genesis, and that he created them male and female, right? And that the male and the female became one flesh, and God created them in his own image, male and female. What is under attack today? But the middle portion of Genesis chapter 1, what is a male and what is a female? That's called gender. And most of us older people want to pull our head over our, the covers over our head, the wool over our eyes. We don't talk about this stuff. We don't want to talk about it. It's too crazy. It's too out there. It's too wild. And yet we've got Christians today, professing Christians. I have to qualify that as professing Christians. They say they're Christians. They're somewhere around 35 years of age or younger. But they believe in a situational type of Bible. They believe in a situational type of Jesus. It's a situational type of theology. So what do I mean by that? This is exactly what I mean. With the world that they're coming out of by the public system bombarding them with a gender selection, that you get to pick your own gender right now in this new generation. You get to pick. Now, some older people today, like myself, would say, are you crazy? It sounds crazy, doesn't it? It's because it is crazy. But if you go just about 4 miles from here into Los Angeles County School District, it's becoming the norm that the kids are taught and instructed in such a way that you can decide whenever you're comfortable what gender you are. And I mentioned last week, and it raised some eyebrows, and I found out that you can go online because people have posted it. I have it. And that is the California Teachers Association's retreat that they had last October out in Palm Springs. And I ended last week talking about this. And the whole thing was conducted by, and the speakers that were featured were gay, lesbian, homosexual speakers, promoting. In fact, Mark Leno was one of the legislators regarding SB 48, and he was the great proponent for to stop Proposition 8. And it was all about do not pressure a child into identifying too early their gender, and to indoctrinate the teachers into the thinking out here in Palm Springs. They took the bathrooms and they made them gender neutral bathrooms at the hotel. I'm not making it up. And again, I'm grateful to somebody here. You went and found out, and the whole thing is online. You can read about it. Someone's posted their whole agenda and the breakout sessions and all of that stuff. You paid for it, so you ought to read it. What in the world is going on? Now watch this. You're going to say to me, well, that's politically incorrect for you to talk about these things. And I'm going to say to you, it's theologically incorrect for them to have gone into my Bible and try to usurp God off of his throne and try to redefine what God has put into practice. No one's got that authority. And yet what we've got in our culture is an elite group of people thinking, acting, and playing God. And listen, they may seem and they may appear to get away with it for a while, but God neither slumbers nor he sleeps on these things. And so we've got a young generation today, young people. They call themselves Christians, but they only believe in parts of the Bible. They would stand here tonight, and they may be in this room right now, and they say, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. I believe in the Bible. But as we see tonight, we'll mention some issues, and we'll look at some things that their culture has forced them now to adopt a different theological view than what's biblical, because their emotions will drive their theology now, and they'll come to the conclusion that, really, I believe in some parts of the Bible. The parts that I don't believe in are the parts where my culture, my people, my generation has an enlightened story. We've got something new going on. And I want you to know that Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. Nothing new. And so I have this question for you. As we look at this, it's appointed gender sexuality. I have this question for you. Do birds lay eggs? I need to hear that. Do birds lay eggs? Okay, listen. Do whales give birth? Yes. Okay, that's very good. How long has that been going on? Forever, or how about since creation? And if you're an evolutionist now, you got bigger problems than that. Just for arguments, just say for since creation. And that's true. Ever since the beginning of creation, birds have been laying eggs, whales have been giving birth. Okay, and so listen. Is this a scientific, reproducible fact, what I just said? Do birds lay eggs? Yes, it is. A study in that absolute natural law demands that we, with boldness, say yes. That's a fact. And everybody knows it. We wouldn't speak or teach against that. It's an observable truth. It is the way things are. Now listen. But what does the Bible say about this as a scientific fact? Can the Bible and science, listen, can the Bible and science, I'm talking biblical science, I'm talking real true science, can these absolutes preside over us as a culture? And I say yes to that. I drove here tonight in a Ford truck, and it functioned based upon the engineers that applied science. Okay? I live my life based upon the Bible. It's true and it's factual. Accurate science and the Bible will never contradict. Why? I said it last time, I'll say it again, because the author of both of them is the same God. Okay, keep that in mind. Here we go. Have some fun. Get your Bible ready. Turn to Genesis chapter 1 very quickly. Genesis chapter 1, mark this down, verse 11. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind. The word in Hebrew is min. That's the word, and it means its own specified species. Its own appointed species. God says, let everything bring forth after its own kind, whose seed is in itself. On the earth. And so it was. Genesis 1:12 says, and the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its species, and the tree that yields fruit whose seed is in itself according to its species, and God saw that it was good. Look at Genesis 1:21. So God created the great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded according to their species, and every winged bird according to its species, and God saw that it was good. By the way, science, and we know this even from the Bible, within a species, there is the variation within the species. There is no evolution. There's a variation within every species, for example, of bird. Did you know, and you can keep your Bible ready because we're going to keep going. This is just something I'm inserting here right now. That when you have a rainy season in any culture in the world, when you have a rainy season, the birds that are hatched in spring, following the rainy season, the birds that are hatched, their beaks are larger and stronger than the generation before them, if that generation before them was hatched in a drier season. Anybody want to know why? Anyone, have you ever asked why in your head? What's that all about? Because when there's a lot of rain, there's a lot of grass. The grasses grow and produce more seed. Because there's a lot of water, the seeds have a tendency to be more plump with moisture and retain greater strength. It's harder to crack the seed. So the birds born in the spring with strong beaks indicate that they had just come from a rainy winter. Where does that come from? From the DNA of God's engineered design. Are you with me? Did you know that there are desert frogs that if they are put into a rainy, slimy environment, that in a matter of months, their thumbs on the male only, their thumbs turn into not a nail, but it is a calcium development that replaces the thumbs of the male frog and it turns into a hook. And you say, oh, in fact, years ago, evolutionists would say, see the evolution? And then they've discovered electron microscopes and the such and the like and found out that, guess what? In that frog, it is in the DNA of that frog that whenever to propagate the race of frog, the species of frog, if they're in a slimy environment, the male frog drops his thumbs and he grows a spur so he can mount the female to inseminate so that they can keep the species going. And it was hailed as evolution, and it was later found to be in the DNA of the animal, in the frog to begin with. Why? How? We have a brilliant God. And the Bible says, these things will reproduce after their own species. Natural sexuality, God ordained. So yeah, you're talking about frogs. I understand that. We're warming up here. Genesis 1:24. Then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its species, cattle and creeping things and beast of the earth, each according to its species. And it was so. Genesis 1:25. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and every creeping thing on the earth according to its kind or species. God saw that it was good. Genesis 6:19. And every living thing of all flesh you shall bring two of every sort into the ark, and God and keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. Circle that. Is that important? Oh, come on, you guys. Why is it important? If Noah, imagine this. Noah, God's telling Noah, get two of each male, female, of the same species, bring them on in. Why is that important? If you were going to launch your spaceship to some planet, and you were NASA, and you're going to do a bunch of lab research and stuff like that, guess what you would do? You would do exactly what Noah's doing. Did you know that? You would take lab experiments with you before you climbed into the spaceship. We used to do that when we had a space program. We would always do that stuff. Well, Noah is putting two of every kind, male, female. He's going to get in his boat, and he's going to go into a new world. And God says to propagate that new world, you're going to need a male and a female. 35-year-old people in this room are listening in right now. Listen to that. When I made the statement earlier that we're going to be looking tonight at natural sexuality, people get upset with that. People don't want to hear this. I'm going to tell you the stuff that I hear. Pastor, that's pretty inflammatory. You're going to talk next week on natural sexuality. Why is that inflammatory? How is that inflammatory? It's scientific. You see, your emotions get involved and want to override science, and your emotions get involved and want to override Bible. God says, Noah, if we're going to have the species of all that I've created propagate into a new world after the flood, you got to have a male and a female. Or what? It ceases to exist, right? You can scream and foam at the mouth all you want. You're not going to change the scientific fact of it all. When males and females get together, they have little versions of what they are, no matter what. And you need to remember that. Positive, direct, mental, listen, emotional influences set what is natural. Let me say it again. As we now segue into the human side of all this for us, listen. What you are by God's appointment, naturally, are you a male or are you a female? Whatever you are, in our existence as humans, it is absolutely essential that you be set or strengthened, encouraged in your gender.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called What is Natural Sexuality? A study on the role of sexuality in our Christian faith. Today's lesson was just one in our series called the Worldview Series. It's a series that looks at worldview issues through a biblical lens, and we'll continue with more on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Hey, listen, if you haven't visited reallifewithjackhibbs.org lately, you really should when you get a chance. reallifewithjackhibbs.org, it really is quite a resource. Just one visit and you'll know what we're talking about. You can access just about anything that is connected to Real Radio. You can access previously aired Real Radio programs. You can get real life videos and Pastor Jack's hand-selected book of the month and a whole lot more. So once again, visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.